Are you building an ark or a canoe?
The Ready Life, into the country.
Hi, I'm Lisa Meisner.
And I'm Nick, her husband.
Welcome back to the Ready Life podcast, where you'll learn how to make your home and your family as independent as possible for basic necessities like water, heat, food, and the power that most of us depend on. You know, this week on the podcast, we're going to do something a little out of the ordinary. You know, most often we're discussing nuts and bolts topics of how to implement a more prepared lifestyle. And we've even stopped and looked at current events and, you know, why this kind of lifestyle would be more advantageous. But there's something even more, an even more compelling reason why we feel this lifestyle is really important. In fact, we touched on it in our recent class on preparation or presumption. If you didn't get a chance to view that class, please be sure to do so while the replay is still up. In fact, you can catch that replay at thereadylife.com/class. That's thereadylife.com/class.
That's right. So we've got a question for you in this episode. And it's a question that kind of picks up with where we left off in that class. And the question is, are you building an ark or a canoe? Well, that sounds like a bit of a silly question, but bear with us for a moment while we're going to dig into this. And obviously, we're talking about the story of Noah and how he prepared for things that were unseen as yet. And the Bible says that he built an ark to the saving of his household. And I'm just wondering, if you hear that word ark, does your heart kind of sigh because it seems so far off and it just...
So impossibly big.
Yeah. If it does, then stay with me. I hear you. And I mean, we've got so far to go ourselves. And
it's true.
Almost everybody does. We're all digging out from this net of dependence that we've fallen into for really a few generations. This isn't just a recent thing. It's been happening for the last few generations. And just like we didn't get here overnight, we're not getting out overnight. So don't be discouraged by thinking of how far off this seems for you. Let yourself dream a little bit. This is something that you encourage me to do often.
I do. I love to just sit down and dream about where I want to be in 5 years and what I want and why I want it.
Yeah.
So
that's right. So just think of a time in the future when your family has a little homestead and you've limited your dependence on the system for those basic necessities of life, like water, food, heat, and these kinds of things. You still enjoy the conveniences, but you're not totally dependent upon those conveniences anymore. And if you're already in a country setting, you know, you may already be on the land, but if you're like us, you've still got some work to do to get to this point of getting where you're not dependent upon the system for these basic necessities. But this is the time that I want you to picture yourself in of this time, in some point in time in the future, where you've gotten to that point. So what's next? This is where the ark comes in, right?
That's right. That's right. You know, it makes me think of that verse in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7, that says, "By faith, Noah, being warned of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith." Hmm. You know, Noah, he was given a task that required a lot of faith.
Yeah, because it was things that were unseen as yet.
Yeah,
they had never seen rain before. Yeah.
Yeah.
And similarly, we're facing things that are unseen as yet for us, like not being able to buy or sell and things like this that we've been talking about for the past week. Mm-hmm. These are things that are unseen as yet, but the concept of the flood was so foreign to them. But even though it sounded crazy at the worst or unlikely at the best, Noah believed the word of God. He believed it. And he had faith. And he had faith that this coming event, which he couldn't see and he couldn't understand, that it would happen as God said it would. So what did Noah do about it?
Well, I don't know.
He worked, right?
Yeah, he did. He worked really hard and he preached too.
Yeah, he did. I can think of one verse where it talks about him preaching.
Sometimes I wonder what those sermons were like. Yeah. If it was a hammer blowing, a flood is coming, you guys.
Right. Well, and that's the thing. You know, suppose that he'd just gone around preaching and saying, there's a flood coming, get ready for it. And then the people that he was preaching to, they say, well, if there's a flood coming, what are we going to do about it? And then let's suppose that Noah said, well, God's going to take care of us somehow. I don't know.
We just need to have faith.
That's right. And then Noah turns to his sons and he says, sons, it's so important to preach and teach and do God's work of warning that we really don't have time to build this ark. You know, the most important thing is to get ready spiritually. So that needs to be what we do. And the physical matters are going to take care of themselves if we stay focused on only the preaching and the Bible studies and all of that. God will work a miracle to save us from the flood if he has to. How do you think that would have gone?
That would not have ended well.
Yeah, we don't know because it didn't happen that way, thankfully.
He obeyed.
But if that had played out that way, it wouldn't have been logical. It wouldn't have been reasonable. And most importantly, it wouldn't have been obedience.
That's right.
Because he'd been given instructions by God that he was supposed to do something. And, you know, it almost sounds sacrilegious to that little scenario that we came up with to be talking about preaching and studying and warning and things like this in that light. We're not trying to down those things. Those are things that are good in and of themselves. They're good things. But we're just trying to illustrate the point here that what Noah did was a lot more than just that. He had a physical work to do. And these other things did not trump that physical work. That physical work was every bit as much God's work as was any preaching or teaching or warning or whatever that he did. He did something. He built, he prepared, and then he entered the ark. Yeah. Every hammer blow, like you mentioned, every blow of the hammer on that ark was a sermon to everyone because talk is cheap.
Yeah, I was just thinking of that. You know, so many people do so much talking, but it's not until you actually see something. As Christians, it seems like we get so caught up in preaching and teaching and we've, you know, got to be more spiritual and all of this. But we fail to realize that faith is an action word.
That's right.
You know?
That's right. So true. And I think one point that we often forget about this story is that Noah was preparing to share.
That's right. Noah didn't build a canoe.
He didn't.
No, he didn't build a canoe.
Well, that would have been a lot cheaper and a lot quicker and a lot easier. And he could have invested more of his time and money into
travel,
God's work.
And preaching and printing more books.
Yeah,
and
God's
like
work
that.
And these kinds of things. But he didn't build a canoe, did he?
No, he didn't build a canoe. He built an ark. He also didn't build a sailboat with a nice sleeper cabin.
That would have held his family, at least.
Yeah, that would have comfortably held his family through the storm. No,
but he didn't do that.
He built an ark. It was a massive boat capable of holding a ton of people and a whole lot of animals.
And the reason being, because he wasn't just preparing for himself and his family. This wasn't a me and mine thing. He was preparing so that he could help anyone who was going to join them on the ark. This was an open invitation, and there were to be no questions left about, oh, I would have gotten on if there had been space. No.
Nope,
there was
no excuses.
Plenty of space on that boat.
That's right. That's right. You know, at Vacation Bible School one year, the kids were learning about the story of Noah, and we, in a great big field, we mapped out the size of Noah's boat based on the dimensions in the scripture. And wow, that thing was massive.
I'd love to go see that Ark encounter in Kentucky.
Oh, I know. Me too. Yeah. I think that would be so amazing.
Yeah. If we ever make it back east, got to do that.
Yes.
But don't forget, Noah didn't just build the Ark. He also had to prepare the Ark and everything that went inside of it. He had to prepare all this stuff.
Yeah, all the food and the linens and the pillows and the blankets or...
I don't know if
all
they had
the
linens,
stuff.
But whatever.
Yeah, whatever it was that they used, the accommodations that were needed to house all of the people and all of the animals that they intended to get on that boat with them.
Right.
They had to prepare all of that. So not only was he working with a hammer, he was also working with a hoe.
Yeah, his whole family. And, you know, that was a ton of food storage that had to happen to sustain these people, all these people that they were expecting, plus all of the animals for that significant amount of time that they were on the boat. And then also when they got off, there was nothing there for a period of time on the earth. And so they had to have food to sustain them for a period of time there. So it was a lot of preparation, not just storage that went into it, but a lot of preparation in gathering, growing, gathering, preserving the food that went in there. A lot of work went into that, a lot of practical, physical work.
Yes.
But Noah was prepared to share. He built that ark for the saving of his family, as the scripture says, but also, like we've been saying, for the saving of any who would come on board. But friends, we've got another ark to build.
That's right. Not a canoe.
Not a canoe, but an ark. And yes, it may have to start out as a canoe or a sailboat or something like that, because the first step, you know, you do the best you can with what you've got. And so the first step is your four walls. That's what we call our four walls, you know, providing for
our family.
Your family, which is a God-given responsibility that we've already laid that out in the class last week. If you have any questions about that, go check out the class. We won't belabor that point. But, you know, when you fly a commercial airliner and they give the safety briefing, they talk about the oxygen mask. And if the cabin loses pressure, this mask will fall down. And then they give specific instructions for if you have a family with children, what you're supposed to do. And of course, as a parent, you're thinking, well, I put the mask on my kids first, because that's what you do as a parent, right?
That's right. Yes. But that's not what they tell you to do. In fact, they tell you that you need to put the mask on your own face first. And then you're in a position to help all of those around, all of your kids and anyone else that you can reach.
Boy, that sounds selfish, doesn't it?
But if you think about it, you can't give what you don't already have.
That's true.
And you can't help someone else unless you're in a position to be able to help them.
Right. And if you pass out while you're putting the mask on them, because my understanding is you only have a few seconds or a short number of seconds at high altitudes, and if you pass out while you're putting the mask on them, you're all going to die.
That's right.
But if you put the mask on yourself, you're now in a position to be part of the solution for others rather than part of the problem.
That's right. That's right. And that's good to remember when you think about this. And
that's
what the Bible teaches too.
That's right. So our first step is getting our family squared away as God's word instructs us. And that's going to take some work since we didn't get into this overnight. You know, we've been talking about this. It's now been at least a couple of generations. So that's our place to start. Mm-hmm. But while we make plans and we work, we want to keep before us the ultimate goal, you know, this dream of preparing our very own little ark, a place of refuge for others where we can prepare to share. And just like the ark, this is more than simply just space for people. It's also supplies.
Yes.
And, you know, things like clothes, food, even water, any of these kinds of things, just be thinking of what it would take if you had people that needed a place to go and you had to take them in. What are the kinds of things that you would need more of, more than just what you've got for your family? Because this is a lot bigger than just me and mine, friends. This is about being able to be part of the solution for others.
And you know, when you think about the correlation between Noah's day with this terrible storm that was coming in our day, we have a storm coming. And that storm is basically where Satan and his angels are going to be trying to deceive even the very elect, God's very own people, trying to get them to bow down or worship, to receive the mark of the beast, so that, and if we don't, then we can't buy or sell, right? And so people everywhere around us are going to be making decisions either for God or to receive the mark. And if we're in a position to be able to step up and say, hey, you know, come over here, you can stand in the gap to help them in that critical moment where they're making that decision. So, you know, same with Noah. There was a storm coming and he stood in that gap. He opened a way for them to be able to survive the storm. And the same is true for the ark that we're going to build today.
That's right. That's right. So just think about some of these practical ways that you can be preparing even now. And, you know, like we said earlier, don't get discouraged if this is still future for you. If you're still trying to come up with a place for yourself, don't get discouraged, friends. That time will come. You'll get there.
Yes.
So be tucking this away in your mind. But if you're already in that kind of a position, if you're already in a location where you can do some of this stuff, be thinking about some of these things like housing, you know, whether it be a RV spot. I've heard of people putting that RV spots on their property where people could park their RVs, or a tiny home. We have friends that picked up a tiny home for relatively inexpensive amount on Facebook Marketplace, a used one, and dropped it on their property. And you can go as far as you want with that. Just have a shell with a wood stove in it, or you could run power and water there if you wanted to be more elaborate. And, you know, could do multiple of those potentially, or whatever. Treat it as an outbuilding. And, you know, as far as food, be thinking about what it would take for more than just your family. That's your first step, is get the oxygen mask on yourself, but then be thinking about what you're going to need to go beyond just your family. And water, you know, with more people, there's more requirements for water, not just for the water that you use, but also if you're growing more food, that's more irrigation or things like this. And so just think through these logistics. We're not trying to be exhaustive here. We're just trying to get the wheels in your brain turning, because this is a really, really helpful and inspiring thing to dream about.
Yeah.
This is bigger than just us, friends. This is about being able to be part of the solution rather than part of the problem.
That's right.
So it's just ideas that we're throwing around. And so, like we said, don't worry about all this if you're not to that point yet. Your first step is to do what you can now.
That's right.
But I do want you to keep these big ideas tucked away. Because things can happen quickly. I've seen it happen so many times. It may seem so far off for you, but if you do what you can now, do everything that you can now, I've seen it happen for folks, friends, where it just, everything kind of congeals all of a sudden, and things happen so quickly that they can hardly keep up with them. And before they know it, their circumstances have changed tremendously. And in those times, it's a good thing to have already had your master plan in mind, and so that when you're making these big decisions and things are happening fast, you're thinking about and you're remembering that, wait a minute, this isn't just a canoe I'm building here. This is an ark I'm building.
Yep, that's right.
Right. And that leads us to the final point that we wanted to bring up. And
yes, that's right. Try as you might, the end time scenario that's portrayed in Revelation is really so far bigger than any one of us. So while God does expect us to do our part and to prepare to help others as we are able, I think it's also important to remember the principle of human effort plus divine power. That combination is what's going to bring about success in the end.
That's right.
Do what you can while you can. And when you've exhausted that, don't worry and fret about it. Leave it in God's hands.
That's right.
You know, what will success look like in every success in every situation? I can't say. But what I can say is that He will be watching, and there will be, you know, He's watching, and He will bless what efforts you have.
Yeah. I think of the story of the 5 loaves and 2 fishes. You know, only one person that we're only told of one person who prepared.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a little boy, but he did the best he could. He prepared, and he was willing to share what he had.
That's right.
The little bit that he had. He prepared for himself. He came with enough food for his own meal, but he was prepared to share also. He was willing to share what he had. And God blessed the efforts of that one little boy and multiplied those resources so that thousands of people could eat. And I think we're going to see that in the days ahead, because this is bigger than anything that we could prepare for. What we're facing is bigger than us.
Yes.
The point is to do what you can. You know, we got an email, I think it was either today or last night, from a subscriber who shared her experience from 40 years ago, where she was a newly single mother going through some really tough times. And she had a little daycare in her home with a number of kids. And sounds like it was a really tight time, and she didn't know where food was going to come from to feed all of these kids. And somehow, during an especially rough month, when she was feeding these kids breakfast, lunch, and supper, somehow she didn't run out of her staples. They stretched out, and she didn't know how, where it came from or how it happened, but she had enough. God took care of her through a stretch that she couldn't have on her own. What He's done for others, friends, He'll do for you too.
That's right. That's right. You know, with the story of Noah, even after he'd made all of those preparations and built that substantial ark as well as he could build it, it still wasn't enough to withstand that horrible onslaught of a storm.
Yeah.
When you look at the effects of the havoc, the devastation that was brought on by the flood, it's really clear that the only way that boat survived was by the hand of God. And the same is true for us today.
He did the best he could,
yep.
But it wasn't enough.
Nope.
And so once again, we see human effort coupled with divine power. And I hearken back to that voice that has been kind of the keynote for us in the last week or so.
That's right.
Proverbs 21:31, the horse is prepared against the day of battle,
but safety is of the Lord.
That's right. Human effort plus divine power. Do what you can to prepare. And then I believe that we can depend upon God to stretch our resources when the demand is greater than the supply. The final outcome is in His hands, but at least we'll know that we did what we could, and we can rest in the arms of God, who has promised to provide for His children.
That's right. That's right.
And that's where we'll leave it for this week.
Thank you so much for joining us today on the podcast, and we will see you again next week.
That's right. See y'all.
Bye.